Are we good? Here, let me fix this. It came off. All right. Did we get the handouts there for our lesson tonight in Proverbs? I do want to remind us, right after this service, we'll go over to the Spanish auditorium, and we'll just be there for a few minutes. But if you serve in any ministry in any way, you take a shot in the nursery. Okay, let's not put it that way. If you take a slot in the nursery, if you sing in the choir, if you Sunday school, you name it. If you're doing something in the church, we're having a brief meeting about our building campaign just over in the Spanish auditorium right after this, about 5 minutes after we end. Be there about 5 to 10 minutes, and then we will let you go. We are in a series on Proverbs. We're actually in lesson 14 already. We're talking about the wisdom of avoidance. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And when it comes to wisdom, wisdom is about learning God's truth and applying it to my life. And that comes in two forms. That comes, first of all, in the form of things God wants us to do, things that a wise person does. But also, it comes with the second thought, there are things a wise person doesn't do. And so years ago, we went through Proverbs and went through a lot of different things. Now we're looking at it from the aspect, what are some of the things that God talks to us about avoiding? What should we stay away from? We've talked about many things. We finished a section on selective principles with the concept of we cannot see the Bible in cafeteria mode. We pick and choose what we want. We have to look at all of it and take everything that God says. We started last week and we gave an introduction about spending pitfalls. Now, this isn't redundant in our Bible Institute class if you're going to that. Brother Ross is talking about biblical finances, and it's more about budgeting and different things of that. But these are just some general principles about finances, possessions, and a mindset. Look at the verses there. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Proverbs 11, verse 24, "There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. And we'll look at these thoroughly as we get into it. But as we mentioned on our induction, I think it's in your notes tonight, with our finances, the money is not the problem, it is how it's handled, right? There's nothing wrong with money. In fact, you need it, okay? And there's nothing wrong with working hard and God blessing you and you attaining a level of what the world would call prosperity if you're doing it in the right way and you're doing it in a God-honoring way. In fact, it comes in handy when you have bills, right? And so there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we struggle in how we handle our finances. Why does that happen? The next little bullet. Most people are undisciplined in their finances. Right? We have no clue what we have. We have no clue. You know, we're not, and these are the things Brother Ross would talk about, like a budget and so forth. So we know where our money is going. We know that we have money set aside for our next bill and all these different things. And so we're undisciplined. And so we need to be very careful and learn some of these things. Now, but I want to look at some very specific things related to, and a lot of these things in Proverbs relate to the place that our mentality and our attitude and our character has to do with our finances and some of the positions that it can put us in and some of the trouble that it can also bring us into. And so here we go this evening. Let's look at the first one. You ready? Avoid uncontrolled desires that lead to an unrighteous lifestyle. Avoid uncontrolled desires that lead to an unrighteous lifestyle. Now, that can be applied many different ways, right? If our desires are for the things that may not be something a wise person would do, may not be things that are honoring to God, of course that's going to end up in some actions, in some attitudes, really a lifestyle that's not right. But that can also, money and possessions can play a part of that. And so let's look at a couple verses here. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 19. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which take away the life of the owners thereof. We'll explain that. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. But he that hateth gifts shall live. Now, when a person is greedy by definition, in a sense, in lifestyle and in choice, they have a desire for wealth or possessions, the things that wealth can buy, that is not healthy. It's to a greater degree than it should be. Okay, that's what greed is. And it can lead to all kinds of problems. In fact, I think you have this. The dictionary definition of greed is just that. An excessive desire for wealth or possessions. Is it the wealth that and possessions that are the problems? No, it's our desire. Our desire is out of control. And when it's out of control, we place, and we'll look at all of these over the course of weeks, we place more of an emphasis on that than things that maybe we should be placing the emphasis on, right? You know, it's like money can't buy you this. Years ago, I don't know if you remember, there used to be a commercial. It'd be like, you take your kid to a baseball game. It cost, I don't know, $50. Not today. Okay, it costs more than that. And, you know, you do this and it costs this much. And at the end it would say, but spending time with your family. Now, that was a credit card commercial, and I don't know how those two go together, okay? You're putting yourself in debt. But some things are worth more than money. Now, we say that, but do our desires and our actions back that up? Because it's easy to kind of step out of that, right? And if we're not careful, we step out of that area, and the very things we say are more important to us actually are put under our desire for wealth and possessions, and that's where it can get a little bit out of control. You say, well, I don't really have a lot of wealth, so I'm not greedy. Do you know being greedy has nothing to do with the degree of wealth that you have, the degree of money you have? It's about desires. You can have the wrong desires and never attain those desires, and those desires can still hurt you. So we have to be very careful about that. Greed is an attitude towards wealth and possessions. The next little bullet there. When we think about this mentality, it is akin, or it is like, the love of money, which has the same results, right? We saw in Proverbs 1:9, if we're greedy of gain, we'll do things that are unrighteous. And if we are greedy of gain, we'll bring problems to our own house, our own life, our own family. Well, look what the love of money will do. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. What's love of money? That's an attitude. That's a desire. And it's a desire placed on something that isn't worthy of that desire. Okay? Money should not be loved. For the love of money is the root of all evil, but read on. We never read past that. Which while some coveted after, wanting something that's not theirs. That's what love of money leads to. And by the way, covetousness is one of the Ten Commandments. It's one of the big ones. Hey, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In other words, in our rush to attain wealth, many will abandon moral principles, they'll abandon honesty, and they will abandon integrity. It is more important the type of person you are than what you possess, right? Your character, you know, what does the Bible say? A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. That's more important. Well, you know, if I had enough money, I just don't care what people think about me. Well, that's not what the Bible says. And that's not a spiritual mentality, because as a spiritual individual, you do not just represent yourself. You represent your family. You represent the Lord. And you represent a lot of things. But he says the love of money, they've coveted after, they've erred from the faith. In other words, they have placed that over their spiritual life, and their spiritual life will take a back seat, and actually, they may even walk away from their spiritual life. Because when you're into that, then the things that money can buy have a tendency to be more important to you than even the things of God. Now, none of us would ever start out there. But the problem is, if we're not careful with our attitude and our desires, we end up there. And so we don't want to do that. When he talks about the Proverbs that they don't take gifts, they're talking about bribes. Now, we are a Thursday night crowd, and most of us, we're a little, maybe a little bit farther along in our faith, but that wrong attitude about money can creep into our lives. It just can't. It's so easy, right? You know, look at children. You give them something and say, can I have one? And they'll tell you no. It's like, I gave that to you. What do you mean no? Okay, I bought that for you. You ask them to share. And then you see a little child, right? They have five toys. They're not playing with any of them. Somebody else goes and plays with one of their toys, and what happens all of a sudden? I want that toy. They didn't want that toy. They just don't want someone else having it. And so we kind of are inbred, or it's kind of like our human nature to be like this, and we have to fight that on so many levels. We have to have the right attitude, even though we're Christians. How can I tell if I'm trending towards the wrong attitude? Here it is. We may think that money and possessions bring real happiness or joy in life. Isn't that why we would make it the number one goal in our life? Think about that. Why is it so important? Now, again, I'm not for you not making money and not being successful where you work. You ought to be. You ought to strive. Whether you get a level of financial compensation or whatever, you ought to strive where you work. I'm a Christian. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to be a good employee. That's good. That is all right and good. And a lot of times if you do that, you will be a good employee. And that's who they're going to give the raises to, people that are getting the work done. That's a worthy goal. But what happens to us is if we make it our goal, I want to get promoted because I want to be rich, or I want to get more money, or I'm going to move over here to do this. Once we start taking little compromising steps, we'll take more compromising steps. And then we do that because we think, if I get this, I will be happy. That will bring joy. So if you believe that making more money will make you more joyful, then what are you saying about money? Right? It is the source of joy. What does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. Where do we get our joy from? We get our joy from God. And when you have your joy in your relationship with God, nothing can take that away. You say, well, Pastor, what if I get sick or whatever? Yes, I understand there's difficulties there, but your joy is rooted in your relationship with God. And even when you're going through difficult things, you still have that relationship with God. And you know what? Money can't buy you out of that. And so let's not ascribe to money something that should come solely from God. We're putting something on money that it was never designed to be. Now, when we think that money's the main goal, here's the problem with it. Here's the point about our unrighteous life. We will do all we can to get it, even if that means being dishonest. You got to be careful about that, right? You can be a salesman. Do you know, I believe you can be an honest salesman, right? How many of you have ever met a salesman that's not honest, right? I was a long time ago, I bought a used car. We first moved back to California from Florida. We bought a used car from somebody we knew. They were working at a place. And we had a trade-in. Goes, hey, let me see how much I can get for your car as a trade-in. And this person told me, here's what they tell people. He goes, whenever I'm selling a car, I will tell them, to get money back on their trade-in, which helps them to kind of tie into buying this new car. He says, what kind of car do you have? And whatever car he tells them, he could tell them, you know, a 72 Volkswagen Beetle or whatever. Whatever car, not a Ford, because no one wants those. He goes, whatever car he told me, he goes, I know someone that's looking for that exact car. Yeah. Now, here's how he justified it not being a lie. He goes, we have a guy that buys every car we buy. Yeah. But that's a lie. Because when you're saying that, what you're making that person think is someone was looking for the exact vehicle you had. Yeah. Right? That's not all. I don't know if you know. That's going low. That's not honest. Well, I might lose a sale if I'm honest. You know what? You might get more sales because God will bless you. Yeah. And I'm not picking on salesmen, because we can be honest in a lot of different areas. Right? You go to work late. And you just, okay. and you check in that you were on time. That's why we had. I worked at a place where we didn't have it. We wrote it in, and every guy that would come in late would write down that he was on time, and the boss didn't care. And I was late once. I got stuck in traffic, and I'm like, to write, like, you know, 7 o'clock. I didn't, because it wasn't the right thing to do. Okay, we're losing friends here. But I'm just saying, we'll lie to people, we'll be dishonest about things. You know, you sell somebody something, and you're not even a salesman, you're just selling it on an offer up or whatever, like, oh, these are worth this much. No, they're not. Okay? And so, okay. Oh, it says move on quickly. Good, all right. So, when it comes to having the right mentality about money, ask ourselves two questions. Ready? The first question is, are you a giver? Are you a giver? Right there, that is the healer to everything. Now, in a spiritual sense, we believe in tithing. If this is your church, God asked for us to tithe the church to meet the needs of the church so we can go forward. And if a person doesn't do that, then there's a problem there. But when a person catches on to that, you know, our missionaries, we play their little videos, and here they are on the mission field, leaving their country to serve God somewhere where their family isn't. It's a difficult field. A lot of the places, there's a lot of issues they have to overcome that we don't have to overcome. Do we give extra, a little bit extra, maybe straight for our missionaries to help them? And over and above the church, are we just generous to people? I mean, if you know somebody that has a legitimate need, right? And you, God's provided you with a little bit extra where you can maybe help them. Would you do it? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. That shows now I'm not saying if you don't have money for your rent to go give it away to somebody. But you know what I'm saying? We get, if it has an overbearing pull on our life, our goal is to hold on to all that we can, not to use it in a way that we can be a blessing to other people. And then also the second question would be, what is my motivation in life? We have to get that nailed down. What is important to me? What is my priority? Because again, if I get involved with wrong desires, it's going to lead me down a path where I might get involved in some things that I would not normally do. I will compromise in little things if it brings financial gain to me or if it brings a more profit to me than just doing what is right. But what is your motivation? All of our motivations ought to be right here, Matthew 6:33, right? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he's really talking about the things of life we need to make it, to be sustained. But really, the things of God ought to be more important than anything else in our life. Amen. Just straight up right there. And if that is, you know what I found? We have the right priorities. We're going to have the right perspective. And we're going to be okay. So let's watch that one. Next, let's avoid not honoring God with how you use your resources. We have resources, and we're supposed to use them in a way that would honor God, or you could say, let's not use them in a way that would be dishonoring to God. See your possessions as tools by which you bring honor and glory to God. Proverbs 3:10-9 says this, honor the Lord with thy substance, right? What is your, not just desires as we talked about, what is your use of everything that you have say about you? Does it say, this is a person that sees that they're thankful for all the blessings that God has given them, and they want to honor God with everything that they have? Amen. That's a good thing. What do we call that? Here it is, and you know it. We talk about it during the summer for a little bit. This is called stewardship. Yep. Stewardship. We have a few weeks where we'll talk about this in the summer. We don't talk about it all the time. We really don't. And of course, it just kind of, I didn't plan it that way, but it kind of dovetails into our building campaign. Just happens to be at the same time as my outline getting there. But that's not what it's about, because, but we do need to understand that. That is a part of our life. Stewardship. Here it is. There's no way of getting around this fact. Ready? All we have has come from God. Well, you know, Pastor, God wasn't at my work working for me. I know that. But God gave you the strength and the health to be able to do that. By the way, and by the way, when I say that, I'm not discounting the fact that sometimes God blesses people because they have good character. They're trying to honor God as a Christian. They work hard. And God blesses that, by the way. And people like that, you're to be commended for working and doing those things. And there is a part of that that's you. But what I'm saying is God's given you that ability. And God has given you that strength. Now, some of you are great stewards of that, and you're diligent, and God blesses that. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is there's no area of our life, not even just finances, where we ever want to take credit for what's going on. I just want to thank God for it. Yeah, I'm going to fulfill my responsibility. Yes, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Yes, I'm going to try to be on point with my all those things. But I also understand that God's been blessing me and God's been good to me. And so we want to make sure that we do that. That's look, God, you gave me everything that I have. And that means that we are accountable for him for everything that he's given to us. So we must use it in a God-honoring way. So what is stewardship? Stewardship is realizing that I am a manager. Manager. Okay? How many of you have ever in a work sense been a manager at all? And I don't even mean that. We've in our early days we worked at apartments where we were the manager of the properties, okay? We didn't own them. We managed them. I've worked for businesses where I was in leadership and I was a manager. In these instances, nothing there was owned by me, yep. Right? I didn't own any of it. But as a manager working for those for the apartments and working in that business, I was responsible for what they gave me to oversee, and I had to do it correctly. And so God has made us a manager, and that's what stewardship means. A steward is one who manages the resources and affairs of another. So what are we stewards of? It's more than what you think. First of all, we are a manager of treasures. We're talking about that right now, so we'll move on from that. But we are manager of the treasures, everything that God has given to us. What, does that mean, Pastor, I can't use something for something I like or something I would? No, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we have to look at all of it, right? And we have to make sure, hey, God, is this God-honoring? Am I making sure my responsibilities are fulfilled and taken care of? Am I being wasteful? Sometimes we're just wasteful with our treasures. Second, we are managers of our time. We're stewards. Now, when it comes to treasures, we're equal. We're not equal. Some people have more than others. Some have less. Some are in the middle. Doesn't matter where you're at. But when it comes to time, we're all on equal footing, right? We all have the same amount of time. I'm not saying that to say you need to work. You know, it's 168 hours a week, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? No? You don't even know. I just nod your head and pretend you know. I think it's 168. We all have 168. God wants to manage those the way he would want. What does that mean? For me, that means on Sundays, that's church time. I'm here. Well, Pastor, you have to be here for the church. You're the pastor. You know, I was here before I was a pastor. I was here before I was at this church, before this church even existed. Because I, as a steward, I look back as a young person and I said, you know what? Church is important to me. I'm going to be there every week. Well, what if grandma's having a party? I'll go after church, okay? What if, you know, Bunny Fufu's having a birthday? We'll go after church. What if my favorite football team is playing? They weren't very, well, the Rams were okay last year. I hope they win, but I'm not going to stay home and watch them. But I just, so manage. Does God want me to do certain things, you know, to serve him? I'm gonna schedule some time. So look at your time. You know, did God, and I'll, some of these, I don't want to blend into there, but I'll look at them. So your talents. Now, these are the three we usually talk. What does that mean? Your skill set. By the way, everybody has a skill or a talent in some way, in some area, right? All of us do. And God wants us in some way to use that correctly. He gives it to us so for our careers and for our responsibilities in our lives, but he also gives us those talents so that in some way we can serve him. We get involved in ministry or something in some way, serving him and doing something that is specifically for him. You say, how do I do that? We have so many things around here that so many people do. That's why so much gets done. People in our church are like, I'll use my talents. I'll do that. There's two more. You know what else we're really stewards of? We're stewards of the truth. Right? The truth. Where do we get the truth? God's word. And we're stewards to how we allow that to work in our lives. And we're stewards of will we stay straight on with it. And that's what we looked at the last point about selective principles. God says, here's the truth. You're a steward of it. Now, are you going to listen and follow it? Or are you going to do your own thing? And stewardship realizes, hey, God wants me to do that. And here's the last one. They all have to begin with T, right? Tribe. Your tribe. It's another way of saying family. I was going to say trouble, but, you know, I didn't want to put that there. Tribe. You're married? That's a responsibility you have. Your spouse was given to you, got to be careful here, from God. Say, really? I thought it came from the, no. Came from God. And so you ought to treat it that way. That's a responsibility. That's a high responsibility. It's not just about what they do for you. Although if you have a good relationship and a good marriage, it's reciprocal. I get all that. But that's a high-minded thing. And you know what we can do in our marriages? We can focus on the weaknesses of our partners because we all have them. Or we can choose to focus on the strengths and be thankful. What about our children? Children aren't just something that happens and like, yeah, I got a few of them running around the house and it's fun every now and then. They can help clean up and all these. No. That's a responsibility from the time they're born. Until they're out in the world. I mean, you always are with them, don't get me wrong. But that's a heavy responsibility to take care of them, to make sure they're provided for, to spend time with them, and to train them, particularly in the things of the Lord, to put them in the best position so that when they become adults, they'll be responsible adults. Let's not leave that to the school system, okay? By the way, I wouldn't leave my kids in any school system, but our school here, I think we have a great school, and we work alongside you, but you're the biggest influence in their life, right? I think church is part of that, having the family together in church and be encouraged and serving the Lord and experiencing God's joy together. I think that's important, but that can never replace the importance of the family. And so take advantage of that, but God's given it to you and say, hey, that's a great blessing God gives me, but with blessing comes responsibility. And so when we're talking about manager, we're talking about a lot of different things. Now getting back to finances, but you can apply it to any of it, let's honor him by using all these things, particularly our finances, using some of it for him. There is nothing, I think you have a bullet here, there is nothing more significant we can do with our resources than to honor God with them. I'm talking about finances, but you can look at that whole list. It's nice to have a marriage that honors God. Two people that are together and are committed to staying together, and although they're not perfect, they show people that maybe aren't Christians, like, you know, look, our world looks at marriage and it's they look at it and it's something you joke about. It's something that, you know, the old lady and the old man, and, you know, she's on the war path, he's, you know, being this, and the world portrays it as nonsense. And so because of that, it's very easy for people just to like, well, I'll just walk away. And you know, I'm not saying that to condemn people. It happens sometimes. But it's we can have a marriage if we'll both stay on target with God and understand that our roles, and God gave us this marriage, and let's be a steward and let's manage it correctly. It can honor God in a very, very great way. You can look at your talents, using your talents. I don't just use them for my own personal gain by work, which is great, but I also, you know, I volunteer around serving the Lord in different ministries. And all those different things. But the most significant thing we can do is to use them for God. So as we finish up here, just ask yourself, how do I use all of these different things God has given me? How am I using it for God? Right? Do I want a marriage that honors God? Do I want to have children that I raise, and my number one goal for my children is, and I don't know what it's going to look like, right? What does God want for their life? What does God want to do? Because I do know one thing. God wants them to be in church and serving him and loving him their whole life. How can I make that happen in my child rearing? And all these different things. And that's the very, that's the most important thing that we can do. So honor God with everything we do. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that affects every area of our life. And we will stop there for tonight. Let's stand together if we may. Thank you for being here. Just a reminder, we'll pray, we'll be dismissed, but just a reminder, if you serve any ministry in any way, let's just say within 5 minutes, could you make your way to the Spanish auditorium? We'll just take a few minutes and give you a briefing as to what's going on with the building and so forth. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for those that are here. Lord, we pray, not just in our finances, but we pray, Lord, that we would honor you in everything we do. We looked at the two different things, and really it's not just finances, it's life. We can have wrong desires, and we can live a life that's unrighteous or selfish, and that doesn't honor you. Or we could see everything that we have as a gift from you and seek to love you and to serve you and to bring glory to your name in this world. Bless us now as we go our way until we meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.